Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to Just a Sip Today. I have been running into this woman on red carpets for the past 2 years, and I've been begging her to come on Just a Sip because she's got one of the most interesting stories. You guys, please welcome beauty influencer extraordinaire. She is the Serena Williams of the beat, Jackie Aina. I got Jackie in the house, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Clink, clink, clink.
To your first Just a Sip.
I know, I'm excited.
I'm so interested in you because you came up on my radar a few times in the beauty industry.
Hopefully in a good way.
In a good way. In a very good way. But I have to say, you motherfucking beauty bloggers got more drama than a Real Housewives of Atlanta episode.
Are you kidding me? Like, it's, I don't know why. Why? It's been like that. Like, I feel like it's progressively gotten crazier and crazier in the past, like, 4 years. And I don't know. I don't know what the catalyst of that was. But you're shook, we're in this. And we're shook, too.
But I'm shook because, like, it's not like you're just having this spat online. It's in Glamour magazine.
Deep. It's
on the New York Times.
Oh, it gets messy.
It gets messy. But what happens when you guys, to be honest, because I always wonder
this.
Don't
say you guys. Don't be throwing me in that bin.
No, I'm saying because, like, y'all are like, you know, like, y'all in the beauty influencer situation. Yeah. My grandmother is of the island descent. So, like, when we see somebody who's got that energy online, when we see you in public, we want to have
pull
the
up.
Same energy.
They never do.
They never pull
they
up.
They never do.
What is it like when you see these people, like, in real life?
It's like nothing, because they're not about that life. So I'm here, and you're there, and we're clink, clink, and I'm waiting, but you're okay, that's what I thought. I have one more champagne, thank you.
Yes.
Yes. No, I mean, I'm a very, and you know, also, like, I'm 32. Mm-hmm. So for YouTube, I know this is going to sound very dramatic, but for YouTube, that's like a little older.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people who are like considered my peers are like 10, sometimes even 15 years younger than me. So I'm a very like, let's talk it out. Let's, you know, if there's an issue, the small issues I've had with, you know, fellow other influencers. And every time I've tried to like be the bigger person and talk about those things, it's just been like, okay, so this was just like not really what it was.
But they like the clout and the PR.
Sometimes people do. Sometimes people really are like attention obsessed. And I feel like we see that not just with beauty, like we see that with like even like TikTok. I'm like, huh? Like these TikTokers got beef? These little tweens?
Yes.
I'm just like, girl, where's your algebra book? Like, what time is it? Like,
what's
aren't
going
you supposed
on?
To be in school or something? But yeah, a lot of people, and I feel like that's just the wave of social media in general, is that people just love the attention. That's why they're there. And, you know, people say things sometimes just for the reaction. I feel like some people like to be canceled.
But how long did it take you to realize this? Because you've been in the beauty space.
10 years. 11 technically this year.
Yeah, 11 years.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to realize that people just want that attention? So they'll come for you.
Yeah.
They'll try to bait you into that.
I mean, I would say the first time I ever had like any somewhat spats with anyone was probably like not really until recently, like 3-4 years ago. And, you know, it just becomes a like, you said what you said, I said what I said, I'm not going to engage, you know, I'm not going to egg it on, I'm not going to further encourage it. And also, I think it just depends on the magnitude of like what's happening. So there's things where it's like, oh, I didn't like that video, whatever. Like, I'm not gonna sweat over that. And then there's bigger things where, like, if you say something about me that affects, like, not just me, but, like, people in my community,
yes,
then I'm gonna speak up. And it's not gonna be like a, oh, it's gonna be like a, well, let's actually talk about.
Let's break this down.
Let's break this down and make this teachable. You know what I mean?
Before we get there, because that is a big part of your platform, is that you better take another sip of that, is that you speak up for people of color in the beauty vlogging industry, because there's not a lot of you.
Yeah, there's not a lot of black women.
How is that possible? Because I feel
like... You'd be surprised. I feel like the biggest hurdle that I had to overcome with my growth was, you know, YouTube is very visual.
Yes.
So when you're online and you're scrolling through the Explore page and you're looking at people's thumbnails, subconsciously, when people see a black girl or a black guy, we're talking about like 4 or 5 years ago. It's gotten a lot better and people have gotten open-minded more now.
Yeah.
But like back then it was like, oh, she doesn't really look like me, so why would I watch that video?
Yeah.
Or I would get like comments from some of my followers and they would be like non-black people and they would be like, yeah, my friends are always like, why do you watch that black girl on YouTube? Like, she doesn't look like you. And it's like, think about how that translates offline as well. Like, do you have non-black friends in your social circles? Do you engage with black people in your everyday encounters at work? So, and people really think like that. Whereas I feel like, I don't know if it's just like a culturally like a black people thing, but like we tend to engage with everyone because we're open to it, but sometimes it's not always reciprocated.
No, exactly.
Yeah, and so that literally translates onto YouTube, and that a lot of people who, you know, look like me, have my complexion, are on the darker side, people are looking at their thumbnail and it's beauty. So everything is visual with beauty, yes, right? So they want to learn how to apply a foundation, but they think they have to literally watch someone who looks exactly like them doing it.
But
in order
don't
for
you?
Them to learn. Not necessarily. Because I mean, if I'm teaching you how to contour, like if you already know the colors you're going to use, I'm teaching you the technique.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're watching me for my personality. You're watching me for the technique. If I'm reviewing a new skincare product, why does it matter if I'm black?
Like a white.
It doesn't really matter.
That's,
you know what,
true,
I mean? Now, of course, I understand to some extent, you want to watch someone who looks like you. You want to watch someone who relates to you. But that shouldn't be the only, you know, the only parameter for like enjoying someone's content. You know what I mean? Because like I could still teach you a thing or two about your eyebrows.
But by the way, y'all steal it from us anyway.
Of course.
The black girl's been contouring
which makes it like kind of even a double-edged sword, because it's like black women are literally like one of the most copied and emulated people on the planet.
Yes.
But they don't want to consume that content from us. They want to consume it from someone else.
So you would rather go to see it from the girl who learned it from me instead of just coming to the master himself. Yeah. Like, why would you go to Daniel's son when Mr. Miyagi is sitting right here?
But that's how people think. It's crazy.
But why do you think 3 million people tune in to your YouTube channel? Because obviously you've broken the mold.
Yeah.
You've obviously fought through the race situation. How did you finally get to that place?
Well, which is still present though. Like I still get it all the time, even at 3.2 million. Like seriously, like you'd be surprised. Like I still get people that comment on my videos and they're like, why do you always talk about race? And it's like, dude, I've been here 11 years. Like, are you not getting the, like, it's not gonna change.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Like, this is what's authentic to me. And I credit much of that because it's a consistency thing. So it's always been something that I talk about. So it's always something that people have had a chance to get used to. So there's no like acclimating.
Surprise.
Or it's not surprising. Like, I lay it all out. I have those conversations. Like, when I hit a million on YouTube, there was literally no one darker than tan that had ever done that before on YouTube in the beauty world.
Wow.
I'm not talking about other genres. I'm not talking about comedy, gaming. They're different. But on the beauty world, I think I got a million in late 2016.
That is so embarrassing that in 2016, that there was no one
darker than tan.
That's crazy.
In the beauty space that had hit over a million subscribers.
That's insane.
I know, but it, like, it happens because a lot of people are just, you know, just so closed off to like what they could open. Like, they just weren't open-minded. It's just very simple. They weren't open-minded. And like, I had those conversations. I put it out there in a video. I was like, why has no one, you know, a darker than tan ever hit over? It's weird. And like, a lot of people were like, I mean, yeah, I never thought of, I never noticed that. And it's like, let's talk about why.
You found that in the last 4 years, darker people have finally starting to come up?
Patricia Bright is like well over 3 million now. Nima Tang hit over a million. Like, there are so many women that, Shalom, I think she hit a million as well. My fellow Nigerian sister, Shalom Black.
Nigerians are f***ing around, y'all. The Nigerians do not around.
We do not play. And Peak Mill hit over a million too. She does more like hair and beauty and stuff like that.
So you open the door.
I mean, like, to me, it wasn't about, like, of course, like, who doesn't want to be the first? Like,
yeah.
The first is epic. Like,
but it's sad that you were the first.
But exactly. Exactly. And to be completely honest with you, I remember the first time I ever talked about this in a video. What I said was, like, honestly, even if it wasn't me, like, I just need to see that it's possible.
Yes.
Like, some Black women just need to see that it can be done. And if they aren't seeing it, they're not going to believe in themselves. They're not going to have that inner motivation.
You're not going to think it's possible.
How? It's because it isn't. Because history has shown us it isn't. Because media is showing us that it isn't. Because the mainstream, you know, what's mainstream is showing us that it isn't. So if we don't get an example, then how are we going to break down that barrier ourselves?
No, 100%. But I also wonder, because I like to play devil's advocate, and I also like to wonder, though, because you've been so outspoken about having people of color and darker skin tones with beauty brands, with big lines, with big retailers.
Right.
Like, that's been your mission, and you have been, like, standing firm on that line.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you've lost money and lost opportunities because people don't want to go with
Absolutely.
The easier option?
Absolutely. Now I don't feel like I have that problem because the door is open. Like, the conversations are way more like,
well, they want to have the conversation.
And they also don't want to get dragged. So
yes.
Like, they have to kind of like meet that standard, because I love that social media makes it a requirement now. Like, they don't accept subpar. They don't accept not embracing wide complexion ranges. Like, they just don't accept it anymore.
Black Twitter is waiting.
Black Twitter is scared.
Black Twitter.
I'm scared of Black Twitter.
I'm Black and I'm not going anywhere near Black Twitter.
Let me just stay on this corner.
Right.
No, I have a love-hate really, because sometimes I'll be like, yo, they didn't deserve to be. They was nice. You didn't have to go that
if
hard.
They're
though.
Literally
but
like.
Sometimes it really is funny.
No, when they wake up and they're like, we ready to drag somebody? Who we going to drag today?
Honestly, secondhand witnessing it is bad. You're just like, scrolling like, damn, they did. Ooh, damn, I would hate to be them right now.
Ooh, you know
it's
noted.
Bad.
Black Twitter, Gail. Ooh. Black Twitter.
That was bad.
That was bad.
Was it Black Twitter coming for her, though? Or I feel like people collectively.
Yeah, but I feel like I go into Black Twitter because I like.
You just have the most access to it.
You have the most access to Black Twitter.
You follow the most Black people, I'm assuming.
But you can also like Google Black Twitter and see what Black Twitter's doing.
And then you get the write-ups. Bossip will compile. Basically, they'll take all the shadiest of the tweets.
The shadiest.
And do the write-ups. And it's like, ooh.
Oh, like, has Black Twitter ever came for you?
Clip notes. I've been come by Stan Twitter, Black Twitter, like Wine Twitter. I'm sure there is one. I mean, at this point, like, it doesn't, like, it just can't get any worse than like what I've already experienced. Like, at this point, it's all the same to me now.
Yeah.
Like, I've literally, I would say pretty much every, I don't know, a group that you could think of has come for you.
Some way.
And sometimes it's like not even intentional. Like, I'll say something like, oh, I didn't like this movie. Oh, one time the freaking, what was that damn superhero movie with the Thanos where he wears the ring?
Oh, you talking about Avengers.
The Avengers. I was like, yeah, it was good, but I didn't really think it was like that good. And then the Avengers hive came for me.
Came for your ass.
I was like, dang, can my glue dry down before you snatch off my lace?
9:30
like,
in the morning.
Can you let it dry, please?
Mm-mm.
Can I set it?
They were like, hey, we know you like 10 hours.
No, they really dragged me.
They're like, we know you like 10 hours of sleep, but let us wake you up at 7:05 and let you know how we feel.
No, the worst is when you, have you ever been woken up to a dragging? Like, you just wake up, you pick up your phone, and you're like,
Jackie,
oh, it's me today.
Jackie, I tweeted one time. I'm going to tell you.
What'd you do?
I'm going to tell you when I tweeted
you do? If it was bad, I'm going to drag you, though.
Let me let you know. I tweeted because I had bought like these Beyonce tickets.
Uh-huh.
They were like $475 a piece. Like,
whoa,
I bought three for my
girls.
Good seats, they were good seats.
Oh,
they were good old seats.
Okay.
I was ready.
Damn.
But then Beyonce was on the Mrs. Carter tour, and right the middle of the tour, she started wearing that Roman noodle bob. You know, like where it was like that ramen noodle.
I like the hair.
I love the hair.
But you said the ramen noodle.
But if I'm paying $475, I need that weave from Narnia. Like, I need it to be like.
What did you
mean?
Say?
So I literally tweeted, I was on Beyonce watch. I was like, listen, y'all, I love my B, but like if B shows up in LA with that bob,
I'm dead.
I'm gonna need a refund, Live Nation. I'm gonna watch the first three songs and I'm walking out because I'm paying for Beyonce. I want the full experience. You know what I mean?
You want
like
the swinging in the.
Oh, I want the full.
You want the 40 inches?
I want the 40 inches. Like, there's a girl in Russia who's cold
I'm
and
dead.
Freezing, but that bitch is living in the mansion right now because Beyonce had her grow it out to the specifications and they skinned her the day before the motherfucking concert.
So
okay, that's what I was tweeting.
So you got track for that?
My ass went to bed, bitch, I woke up, the hive was all on me, and I knew exactly what happened because there was a blogger who retweeted it, who added Beyonce, and did all this stuff, drugged my ass.
You know what's worse, though? Like, when you're a person of influence, because they almost kind of feel like...
It's okay.
You should know better, and, like, you can't be critical, but, like... They can tweet way worse than, like, just
yes.
because it's amplified, because I have a bigger platform. It doesn't, because, like, I see people who don't have big platforms get viral tweets all the time. So I think it's, we all can be mindful of what we say and how we tweet. But I feel like it's not fair that, like, when I say it, it's like I get dragged. But, like, I see regular schmegular people with small accounts.
Calling me the N-word.
Come for, all the time.
Saying like, oh, yeah.
But they want to hide behind 20 followers.
Yeah.
Like, well, what happens when your tweet gets viral?
Mm-hmm.
You're an influencer now. Welcome.
But this is the thing. It's not that they think that you should be more careful.
Yeah.
It's that they think that you can handle the abuse because you
that
stepped
too.
Into the room.
That too. Which is bad.
That's the f***ed up part.
Yeah, it's really, it's actually makes it worse because it's like, okay, so you think I have to now take harder hits.
Yes.
Because I have more followers. That's
yes.
strange.
And you get in a bag for it. So work for
no,
those coins. That's
no,
how people think.
No, I'm not getting the bag for it. This is just, unfortunately, the byproduct of what I do because more people follow me. But I'm not getting paid to deal with abuse. I get paid to amplify Black voices. I get paid to teach people things. I'm offering a service because makeup is a service.
Yes.
It is considered a part of the service industry. And I'm teaching people how to utilize that for free 99. Not that I complain. I'm just
no.
saying. I love my job. But... You don't get paid. Does it help? Sure. A
but
cute
you,
little bag or two.
But you ain't beating a bitch. Like, your days of beating a bitch is over. Like, you ain't sharing a beauty blender with nobody.
No, I don't do makeup anymore. I am retired from the game. And I still get friends that are like, I mean, so this wedding. I'm like, girl, like, if I love you, love you. I got you. But no, sometimes people still hit me up. And they're like, can you do my wedding?
Why are you going to play like that?
I don't know.
That's like being like, oh, yeah, I'm the best cello player in the world. But you can...
Though.
I know you. Oh yes, you are.
I mean, like I'm pretty. I'm okay.
I'm no, good. I'm looking at this contour,
oh,
Rich. You the blah. You the blah.
Thank you. This is a 20-minute face too.
This is everything. I like your 20-minute face.
Thank you.
Do you think that sometimes, back to my question, being the girl who's willing to fight for darker women, do you lose money over that?
Yeah, I would say the first 6 years, yes. Now, this is over half a decade because a lot of people think,
yes.
you know, they see what I have now and they're like, oh, you know, like you got all this stuff and you have money and you have bags and you have privilege and blah, blah. And they don't understand like what it took to get there. Like, I remember for years, like I couldn't even get a manager. Nobody wanted to send me PR. Like, it was really hard to cultivate relationships with brands because it's like the moment, even down to like saying that I was Black. Like if I was on a shoot and I was doing like a demo, because there were some one-off opportunities, they were never continuous though. And I remember one day I was on a shoot and I said something as simple as like, oh, this bronzer works really great for like darker skin tones. And they literally told me, don't say the word darker skin tones.
Damn.
Because they wanted the video to appeal to the masses.
Damn.
And I was like,
But who?
Do you, Black. Like, this is Black.
And they wouldn't even let you acknowledge
it. No, they were like, oh, we prefer a different, like, rich. I was just like, okay. Okay. Weird. Like, weird. So it's like little things, like microaggressions that, like, people would say that made me feel like, you know, or I would like, you know, I remember one time I was trying to get a manager and someone had reached out to me and they were interviewing me. And they were just asking me, you know, like, so what are your passions? You know, like, tell us about like what kind of content you like to create. And like, of course, like at that time, I was still doing like videos for like darker complexions and empowering women of color. And like, it was just like blink, 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 blink. Like, okay,
Like, we can't do nothing with
that. Yeah, like, they just, like, okay, sure, we'll call you back. I was like, okay.
But looking back weird. On those people and looking at...
I remember
at
who they were, too.
But do they try to come and work with you again?
They do. They always come back, and it's very comical to me. And you know what? There are even times where, like, now I feel like I'm in the phase of my career where it's like, okay, I see what you did. If you want to work with me, instead of just working with me, you now have to, like, work with two other black girls.
Ooh, and you do it.
Yeah. I've done it before.
So you're the Harriet Tubman of the beauty world.
I like that
You're
title.
Bringing bitches
like
to freedom.
It. I mean, I'm trying. I'm trying to do something because, you know, I feel like there's so much that I've already accomplished. And I kind of feel like at some point, beauty vloggers are going to start peaking. It's like you can only work with so many beauty brands. Like, I've literally worked with everyone there is to work with now.
Yes.
So now it's about kind of like, okay, how can I help other people? Now, does that scenario work for every single opportunity I get or brand deal? No. But if I can try it, I'm absolutely going to try it. And I'm going to do as much as I can to bring people with me. Like, I even want to get to a point where I can start bringing, you know, talent with me to, like, other brand trips and stuff like that. Feeling them out, of course, because when you travel with someone, that's a whole different
story. That's a whole different story.
That's a lot. But yeah, I mean, like, it's really, really important to me because for me, it's like I've already done everything that I have sought to do in the beauty space in that way. I mean, there's other goals that I have that are kind of broader than just YouTube. But
yeah,
like at this point, I'm very intent, like very intent on like bringing other people with me.
And I hope,
like,
you're taking a cut.
I don't just say it. I mean it. And like also make sure they get paid what, you know, what's competitive, what they're, you know, what's a fair rate for them. Don't just give them the black rate because there is such thing as a black rate.
Hold on.
Is such thing as a black rate.
By the way, when you tell me that there's a black rate, because mm-hmm. when I think of black rate, my mind automatically goes to, which I do this now, is
a premium?
Bitch, I'm premium. I'm black. I'm gay. I'm Jewish. Like, you better throw in all that cash.
It should be a premium.
And I would throw on this motherfucking ponytail, and you can call me Justine if you want to do that too.
I'm dead.
Because I will identify with her in 2 seconds if that's what you want.
I'm dead.
But I think it's, in my business, it's a premium because I know sometimes, unfortunately, how this world works. Like, you need that gay guy. You need that black person. So I'm like, hey, I'm 2 for 1. Let's do this.
Yeah, sometimes brands, like, you can just tell when a brand is trying to meet a quota. I mean, I try to avoid working with brands who just want to fill a black quota because I want to work with someone who intentionally wanted to work with me.
Yes.
And not just someone who just needed a black person. Because it's kind of like, okay, if that's the case, and if you absolutely don't care who you're working with, I would rather recommend that person and be like, I mean, I'm not the best for this project, but somebody else who may need that opportunity will take it. And like, I try not to judge people because sometimes we can be so hard on our own people.
100%.
And be so quick to be like, oh, you sell out, you did that brand. Like, relax, because there are a lot of people who are quick to point the finger at like other black influencers, calling them all kinds of sellouts and all kinds of whatever. But like, if you had a couple racks waving in your face, it might be tempting to you too. So don't play and don't be so quick to judge. And like, everybody does things that they don't necessarily want to do to get to where
everyone.
They want to be. At some point, everyone does it. If you've never done it, you're a liar. If you were
unemployed.
I would be very surprised to hear if everyday normal people who work corporate jobs, you know, everyday 9-to-5s, like, I would be very surprised to hear if you love everything about the company that you work for.
Yeah.
Because most people don't. Most people aren't really all that happy with places that they work. Most people deal with microaggressions in the workplace every single day. Because they have to make a living.
I hate that.
Make a living. You have to make a living.
And I always tell people too, like, if you're going to shame me and you're going to say I shouldn't take a bag because you think that it's below me or that I should be standing up for X, Y, and Z, then if you're going to cover my car note that month and you're going to pay my bills, we cool. But you can't be talking about what I do and what I do, because if it doesn't align with your beliefs, that's fine.
And as long, I feel like my general rule of thumb is like, look, is this opportunity going to hinder people in my community as a whole? Then I can't accept it. But if it's something that maybe a couple people might not like, or maybe a little eyebrow worthy to some people, then it's like, that's a little different from something like, okay, this is just like blatantly disrespectful to people who are like me.
Yeah.
This is going to be harmful to my community. This is going to be hurtful. Then I have to walk away. You know what I mean? But
for sure.
I'm just talking about people who are just literally just don't like a brand.
Yeah.
Or they don't like I don't know, whatever. People have many different reasons for not liking brands, and they have every right to, but that's your right.
Yes, you're right.
It's everybody else's individual right to disagree or agree. And
sometimes
on.
When you start digging into why I didn't like the brand, it's for personal
sometimes
reasons.
It's really personal. Sometimes it's really frivolous. It's really just, I mean, is that really worth, you know, dying on a hill over? It's kind of like, and look, I don't believe in telling people this is something you shouldn't feel strongly about, because I feel strongly about some things that some people might be like, girl, it's not that deep. But like the problem that I have is like when you impose that on someone else and like their ability to make a living, that's kind of like, I mean,
that's where that's it's up.
Yeah, it's kind of like messed up. So you see a lot of that, though, because everybody's always so quick to, I would never do this. I would never. Okay, well, then you're
don't.
Not.
Then you don't.
Exactly.
Not today.
Yeah.
Not
okay.
today.
Sure. Sure, sir. Sure, ma'am. So annoying.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The thing I love about you is that you are truly a self-made woman, in the sense that not only did you make this by yourself, you were in the motherfucking army, which is the far left from beauty, blogging, and
way
vlogging.
Far, honey, way over the deep end.
Why did you get into the army in the first place, and how did you come into vlogging? Because
it's a long
I don't
story.
Know how you, like, you just go from, like, eating goats in a Nigerian home to getting into the army.
Well, there's a lot of a crossover here, but basically, like, okay,
you followed
so,
a man to the army.
Actually,
you did it for the D.
Well, not for the D, but not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Be honest.
I'm not that crazy.
Because I've done some for the D.
No,
I went to law school for the D for 12 days.
It wasn't that great, but I will say.
I took an LSAT, paid a tutor.
Did you really?
Went to law school, paid $1,400 in books. For the D for 12 Ds.
I mean, at that point, is it really for the D though? Like, that's D.
That was for the D. I was crazy.
Wow.
I'm a Scorpio.
You're determined.
Double. He was hot. I was stupid. I was young. I
Nobody's
was
that damn hot. Come on.
It was
Nobody
like,
is
I was
that
so
hot.
Young. I followed really? Him to law school. It was horrible.
You were just so like doe-eyed and like
I was
ambitious.
So doe-eyed. I thought he was so hot, and he talked me into taking the LSAT. It was like horrible.
Wow.
And then on day 13,
did he at least
like,
help you?
So when I got there.
Like, come on, sir.
He had helped me with the LSAT. Like, we spent time together studying for the LSAT. Like, it was like this whole thing that it was like our thing. And when
So was this like a thing you were doing, like, impress him? Or you kind of
so
got.
I was at the end of my schooling at LSU. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I met this guy, and he was like, oh, you know, I'm going to law school. Like, you should think about doing it. And I was so impressed by him. He was so poised. He was a little bit older.
You should think about doing law school.
And I was like, oh my God, I never thought about it. And he was like, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Like, just do it. Like, you have live.
What
Come
in
on.
The Dr. Phil?
What in the Dr. Phil?
Was he dragging you?
He
like,
was
what
dragging
is this?
Me. So then. I'm like, all right, yeah, let's do it. Let's study for the LSAT. And then I got deep into the LSAT. I wasn't thinking I was going to do it, but it kind of turned out great. Like, I did it. I got, like, a partial ride to LSU. So I was like,
wow,
let me, like, figure this out. Maybe this might be it. And, like, maybe we can, like, be lawyers together and, like, work in a firm and be closeted together. Like, it was a whole dumb idea. And then on day 13, when you get to law school, they say, you know, this is – the day before, you know, that you can drop out without incurring any cost. And, you know, this is $45,000 a semester. And I was like, 45 who?
A semester?
Semester, bitch.
Embezzle?
And right?
Oh, my God.
I picked that shit up so quick. I was like, you know what? I didn't even get the D yet. I'm here. I'm like, what am I doing? I didn't even get the D
they
yet.
They really say that, like, in the classroom.
Oh,
like
they let you Damn. Know. Like, by the way, if you don't think that you're going to do this, do not waste your time
no,
and do
so
not
true.
Waste this money. I literally, you've never heard a record scratch ever. I was like, like, write my name, and I was like, 45,000, 45,000. Like, literally.
Like a trail of paper leaving the room.
Like the f***ing Roadrunner out of that bitch. Crazy.
Oh, my God. So how long did that whole, like, how long was that whole process from the time you met him, the time you?
Oh, it was like a 6-month ride. It was like a 6-month ride. But then after that, I quit, and then I came straight to L.A. So it ended up working out for me in the best way possible.
That's an amazing story.
But that's why I was like, hey, if you follow the D to the Army, it's fine.
No, it was kind of not really that. It was more like, okay, so basically, you know, all throughout my life, I thought I was going to do fashion and beauty. Like, that was just my thing. I used to literally, like, design clothes when I was, like, 10, like, sketch stuff. My mom was a seamstress, so she would, like, make the clothes for me. Yeah. So fashion, beauty was a huge part of my life since childhood. Like, I just knew that was it for me. And then I got to high school, and it was, like, junior year. Your parents sit you down, and then they're like, okay, what are you going to do with your life? And mind you, my mom is Black American, so she's from here. So she's a little bit more, like, open-minded when it comes to, like, career choices and stuff. She's just like, do what makes you happy. As long as you're good at it, I'm never going to judge you. I'm always going to support you. That's what, you know, moms are so sweet.
And the Nigerian.
Dad, on the other hand, very strict, very academic, very, like, I mean, it's either a doctor, lawyer, engineer, and nothing else.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, literally nothing else. So then, or a pharmacist, if you're lucky. So then, parents sit me down. Actually, my dad sat me down. And
that's
was like,
a cop
what
out. Pharmacist is when you want to be lazy about it.
Yeah. The, legal, the pusher.
My sister's a pharmacist.
Oh, she really?
She was
it's
lazy.
Kind of like not as intimidating as like. Yes. So yeah. So then basically, like, we have a conversation. My dad was like, what are you going to do with your life? And I was like, Dad, like, you know, I'm going to go to FITM. I want to study fashion design. It was my dream to go to FITM. Like, I wanted to go to FITM so bad. It was like the cool school when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So then he was like, yeah, so like, you could do that, but like, you'll be cut off when you're 18. Or you can go to school to become a pharmacist and like, we can help you. So I'm like 17, like, yeah, so let's look at the Cal States. Let's, yeah, you see your mind? All right, I'll apply there. So when you're like 17, you're like, I don't know what to do with my life, right?
Yeah.
So then I applied to schools. I get into Cal State San Bernardino. And it was like, okay, well, if I like go to a university, at least the incentive is I can like move out and live on campus. So I was kind of semi-excited about it, but like not really. So then I
finally
applied to
Cal. Finally live your best thought life at this point.
You were no, like. I know this is going to sound so lame, but I was actually really corny. I was like so straight edge when I was younger.
But were you straight
really
edge
straight
because
edge.
You were living in the house? And you thought maybe.
But it wasn't like as soon as I got out the house, I was turned. No, I was actually very like boring, normal. Like I was very normal. I wasn't as like outgoing as I am now. So, I mean, like I kind of was, but like it was just the tip
of the
iceberg.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still finding yourself. You know, I'm like 17, 18.
100%.
So you get to college, right? I get to college and I'm like, oh, I'm in college. I live by myself. But then I got to college and I had way too much freedom. I was so like academically obsessed all throughout high school, middle school.
Yes.
That I think when I got to college, my brain was just like, I can't do this. Like, I cannot do this anymore. So then I start dating this guy my sophomore year of college. The
Lifetime
movie starts. The alleged D.
The BET
the alleged
movie starts
D,
right here.
And he had joined the Army. So he had just joined the Army. So my mind was nowhere near the Army at all whatsoever. I swear to you, Justin, I swear to you. But then we're talking and this is my sophomore year. And like at this point, my brain is like on level 10. Like I just could not do it anymore. I was like, this college stuff, there's like 200 people in this class. Everybody's musty. I can't even read the books. I'll be falling asleep in class. I can't do this anymore. I don't have nobody forcing this. I can't do it. I want to go home.
I got to get out of here.
I got to get out of here. So then he was like, why don't you just join the Army? And I was like, boy, bye. What do you mean join the Army? What am I going to do in the Army?
Right.
What am I going to do in the Army?
Exactly. You're like, what am I doing?
What are you even saying?
Should I come?
What are you talking about?
Should I do it?
I was like, should I do it though?
Will you watch out for me?
I'll just try it though.
Yeah, will you watch out for me?
So then I was just like thinking, and I was like, actually, you know what? Like, he gets to travel the world. He gets to meet cool people. He has a career. He has a salary. He has benefits.
Was he older?
No, he was actually 1 year younger than me.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I was like, he's getting all that cool stuff. Why can't I get all that cool stuff? Like, I want to meet people. I want to, like, give back to my community. I want to change people's lives. Like, I want to do that. And so that was why I did it.
And you went in and you loved it.
Well, no, not quite. So I went to go talk to a recruiter. I was like, sure, I'll just go ask questions, right?
And then you went into the center.
I was like, I don't know what this is, but, like, I would just like to know, you know, like, what it would look like joining the military. Like, how can, like, what does it mean? Like, how can I contribute? Like, what do I do? So he gave me this stuff, blah, blah, this info. I was like, all right, you know, I've lived a little bit of life. I would like to, you know, see what this would look like. And then I, you know, after from the first initial meeting to when, like, I actually shipped out, it was about 6 months, 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
So it had been some time that I had been thinking about it. But honestly, it was one of the best decisions I've ever made because it was the first thing that I had done in my life for me.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I really actually, like, challenged myself and came into adulthood and did something that I wanted to do, not my parents, not society. Because, you know, even there's a whole different set of challenges being a woman in the military. It's like, and then an attractive woman, it's like, oh, you're not going to work. You should be cooking. You should be somebody's wife. Like, people are so judgmental.
Right.
In all industries, but especially in the military, is, look, it's very misogynistic.
Yeah.
Very misogynistic. It's very like, oh, women are not. It's just, come on, seriously, like, we're all doing the same job. We all wear the same uniform. Actually, while we're on the topic of dropping gems, I would just like to say, for the people who judge women and say the way that you dress.
Speak on it.
A lot of people like to say the way that you dress determines how men will treat you.
Yes.
As a woman that, you know, a woman in uniform, I can actually tell you that is 100% BS, because the way that uniforms are designed, they are not figure flattering at all. They are not figure hugging at all. No matter, even if you want to get them a size, no, they're going to give you the size that's going to, everybody is one and the same, and sexual harassment still happens.
Still
so
happen.
When people say, oh, how you look determines, it's not true. It's 100%. And I know that because I live that to some extent. Now, it could have been much worse. I know a lot of people who have had much scarier stories, you know, being in the military, but it's like, they still talk to you like you're crazy. They still catcall you. They still disrespect you. Men still talk to you like you ain't, you know what?
Yeah.
Even when you're in a bland box refrigerator shaped uniform.
Taping down your boobs.
They're still looking at you like an object. And it's crazy to me.
What was the scariest moment as a woman in the military that you have ever come face to face with? Have you ever felt like you were backed up into a corner that you couldn't
get out of? For sure. There's definitely been some incidents where, like, I felt like men in positions of power have abused that power or have made me feel uncomfortable or have said things that, like, you know, like, if I report it, it would come down to
me
and not the person that was the offender. But, yeah, it's just really just, men are gross. Like, but I love
men
you.
Men are disgusting.
Like, I literally, there's like,
men are nasty.
Like, they're probably like five straight heterosexual men that I have the tolerance for. The rest of y'all, bye. Like, y'all, I wouldn't save you if you was drowning. No, I'm kidding.
Jackie, let me tell you something. Any other gay man in here can tell you, if you think straight men are out of pocket,
I hear it's worse for the gays. I know.
The gays are
the shade,
out of control.
I know. I hear about it.
The gays
are
out of control.
I know.
The gays, I had to change. If you airdrop my phone right now, it will say Jill. Because when I had it as Justin or JS, I was getting dick pics at the motherfucking gym. And I'm like, that's an ugly dick in the first place.
Just put it all out.
Just put it all out there. Like, if you're going to send me one, send me a nice one at least.
Oh, my God.
Borrow your friend's dick. I don't know.
Let me call my pastor.
Right? I just think a lot of times gay men and women have a lot more in common than we think.
We probably do. I'm not surprised. Because we're both after the same thing.
We're both after the same thing. But the thing is,
and it's not realistic.
No. But the thing is, in general, I feel like we're fighting some of the same issues where men in power come and try to assert their power on us.
But
and
however,
get respected.
But however, you're still a man. So at the same time, you still benefit from that male privilege to a certain extent.
But I feel like, again, black women and gay men kind of are like sometimes at the bottom of the totem pole, in the sense that, like, black gay men.
Black women and gay black men?
Men, yes.
Okay.
Are sometimes at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like kind of the same fight. But I feel like when it comes to sexual harassment and sexual advances, we sometimes.
And trans women.
Trans women as well.
Yeah.
Yes, trans women as well. Sometimes trans women have it even harder than us.
That's a whole
like,
different.
Oh, that's a whole different ballgame.
And
but
I'm very overprotective of, like, when I see stuff like that on Twitter, like, people are just so, like, disgusting about.
But they don't even know. Like, it's like you're speaking about
rude.
Things that don't, you're rude, but you're also uneducated
or
about
I think
certain
even talking
things.
About it like as if it's like a choice, like a lifestyle choice. Like,
yeah.
What?
By the way, I couldn't imagine. And I say this because I have a friend who I went through the whole journey with. So now I can reflect on it. When I was a little bit younger, I only knew that I liked men or boys. And I thought, oh,
you
boys
knew when
who
you
like,
were younger?
Oh my God, I knew when I was like six. I knew in kindergarten. I was like, that one, him.
Really?
Oh yeah,
that's,
100%.
That's amazing though. I feel like it's just so like, knowing who you are from childhood is like so powerful. That's why I'm so proud of like Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. That's just beautiful. They're now daughter.
That's a beautiful story.
I honestly, like, that was emotional watching that because I feel like it is a testament to, like, how beautiful it is seeing parents support their children in every walks, like, in all walks of life.
In all walks of life.
In every shape or form. whatever.
100%.
I feel like it's even important saying, like, I don't understand, but I'm here for you. I support you.
Yes.
And I feel like that is so beautiful. I can't relate, but you know what? I'm holding your hand through this.
100%.
I wish I had that growing up.
But that's what we're missing.
Not through sexuality, but like through career, like just through what I was passionate. Like, there are a lot of parents who would not do what he's doing. That's why I brought up Twitter, because the conversation had recently come up, you know, and it went viral. Now that she identifies as a woman.
I had people from my small hometown mm-hmm. who probably 20 years ago probably didn't think, you know, that thought that gays were wrong and God hated transgenders and trans women and men. And to see the conversation come up and someone posted, and to see people defending Dwayne Wade and his daughter
yeah.
and Gabrielle Union, it's almost like, I now understand why Gabrielle and Dwayne have met.
No.
Like, this was their destiny, to educate and open doors and do all of these things for people.
Exactly.
And it's just so crazy. But we digress. I need to get back to Jackie.
We got deep
for a
Cheers
minute.
To that.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to living your truest self.
But
seriously,
before you became Jackie, yes. that bitch, you were in the Army for how long?
Mm. 8 years.
8 years.
Mm-hmm.
You were living in Hawaii.
I was living in Hawaii because my ex-husband got stationed there, but I was only there for 1 year. So the guy that I, you know, kind of encouraged me to join.
You married him.
We ended up getting married.
Damn, Jackie, you committed to the D.
I know.
That's what I'm talking about, bitch. If you're going to commit to the D, commit to the D.
Well, give me a ring, though, first. Don't just think I'm going to just, no, but you better give me a ring.
But bitch, took you 8 years to get that ring. You went to Iraq for the D.
We'll take it. I went to Kuwait. Not Iraq.
You went to Kuwait for the Jackie. I won't even drive to the Valley for the dick anymore.
Dead. You almost took the LSAT, so you probably wrote the book on how to achieve the D.
You know what?
Okay.
I probably did.
You've actually done some crazier.
No, bitch, you went to Kuwait.
That's true. But we were broken up then.
Okay, so you followed him so he could see you
no,
and be like, this is what you're missing
like, well,
out
this
on.
This is my career now, so I'm going to go that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got married, and that was when I started my YouTube channel, the same year, 11 years ago, 2009.
And in 2009, mm-hmm. you decided that relationship was over and you
we split up at the end of 2009.
And you left with $300 in your pocket. And
Less
came to
that.
Los Angeles.
You know what was so funny? Oh my God. You know what was so funny? When I left Hawaii. So obviously my family's here in California, right?
Yeah.
So when we split up, it was like, I'm going to go back home. So I get to the airport and I'm checking in. And I'm still kind of like, the breakup was still fresh. So lots of emotional days, you know. I had packed up days before I had left. And I was staying with another friend that lived on base or like lived close to the base. I don't remember. But anyway. So it was really rough and really emotional leaving the island when we split up, because it was very fresh. So I get to the airport and I have no money. I don't remember who bought the plane ticket. I don't know if it was me. I don't know if my ex. But anyway, so I get to the airport and I think it was like a red eye or something. I don't know. But then I get there and I think the flight was supposed to be like 6 p.m. or something like that. I don't know. And I go to check in and they're like, we can't find your reservation. So I was like, okay. So they're checking me and blah, blah. And they're like, oh, we found your reservation. I was like, okay, check me in, girl, take my bag.
What's happening?
She was like, this flight was yesterday.
No.
And I just lost it. Like, I had been through it.
No.
Mary J. Blige, I'm going down through it. And that was just like the tip. I was just like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't have any money. I can't ask my mom. Like, I didn't know what I was gonna do. So then I, you know, the girl that was with me, bless her soul, starts going off. She was like, do you know she served our country? You better get on this. She was just like going in. She was like, call customer service.
Riding
so then
you.
we call customer service. And they're like, we're on the phone with them for like 35 minutes. They were like, there's nothing we can do. Like, I'm so sorry, but like, you missed your flight, ma'am. Like, there's nothing we can do. And mind you, my friend is on the phone, like going off on her, blah, blah. So then she gives the phone to me. And after she's talking with her for like, basically cussing her out for like 30 minutes, she gives the phone to me. And she was like, here, if you want to say something to them, I try. So then I have felt so defeated. I couldn't even fight that battle. I felt so defeated. I got on the phone And I was just like, look, ma'am, I know there's nothing you could do. I just want to say thank you for trying anyway. She was like, okay, no problem. Have a good day. Hung up the phone. No, she was nice. She was nice. I hung up the phone. And then 5 minutes after shuffling my feet at this counter, trying to figure out what I was going to do, this lady who works at the counter goes in the back and then comes back and she hands me a ticket.
Damn.
And was like, I'm going to get you on this flight. Wow. And the only reason why I'm giving you this ticket is because you were so nice to that lady, even though she couldn't help you on the phone. She was like, but your friend, on the other hand.
That almost, bitch can stay in Hawaii.
She almost got you booted.
She can stay in Hawaii.
And I was just like, oh my God, thank you. But it was so crazy. So yeah, I came back and I had to spend half the money that I had, like $300, half the money that I had left, I had to spend on bags, because that's when check bags were super expensive. I mean, they still are.
Damn.
But then, so I had to spend $150 on my bags. So I really came back to California with like $120.
The fact that you came back to California on a plane and you didn't have to take a boat because you took everything out of that motherfucking house is a surprise to me, because I would have ripped the varnish off the goddamn wood. Okay? If I'm leaving, I'm taking it all.
Take the dining room table.
You're engaged now.
I'm engaged.
To a nice hot man named Dennis.
Yes. A British lad.
A British lad. Uh-huh. Are you ever fearful about going back into a relationship because the first one didn't work out?
No, because he's not even the same. Completely, completely different.
Night and day.
Completely different. Night and day. I don't even date the same. Like, I just don't. I don't have the same expectations. I don't put the same. Yeah, I just don't have the same expectations. Like, I'm happy in myself now. And yeah. I feel like that makes for way more successful relationships. Like, back then, I used to be so clingy. I used to be so needy. I used to be so dependent. I had nothing going for me. Like, virtually nothing going for me. Now, baby.
Yeah. You're like, I need a moment.
This is a different lifetime now. And I just feel so fulfilled within myself that, like, we complement each other. We Amazing. Don't need each other.
What's he do?
He actually has an investment banking background. So, which, to be honest with you, comes extremely helpful for someone like myself who's in the creative industry. Like, I'm somewhat business savvy, but like, yeah. I don't know things, you know, like he knows how to read contracts. He knows how to negotiate really well in ways that, like, I just don't. I'm just like, can you please do this?
Dennis got coin, y'all.
Dennis is very, very smart in ways that, like, he's the kind of person where, like, you don't look at him and think book smart, but like, he'll say some stuff and you're like, how did you know that? Like, yeah. How did you even? So yes. And he's very good. Like, I've actually had him read contracts for me and things that, like, lawyers have paid me hundreds of dollars per hour to do, he'll give me the same exact feedback. It's actually insane, like, how smart he
then
really is.
You know
is.
What? You and I are going to become sister wives, and Dennis is going to be reading all our contracts.
No, which is extremely helpful in this industry. It's very easy to be taken advantage of as a creative, as an influencer. Like, people come in this industry and they just, like, think we're so dumb. They think we're idiots. They think all we do is put on lipstick all day, which I do. That's sort of true.
I'm gonna swatch it.
But at the same time, it's like, you need someone that's gonna make sure you're not being taken advantage of. You're not being, you know, played. And, like, he is, like, the protective barrier that makes sure that the well-oiled machine is running smoothly behind the scenes while I'm kind of, like, in front of the scenes. And we also have a couples channel. So he edits and creates all that content on our second channel. So, yeah.
Jackie, tell the people out there where they can find you.
On every platform, at Jackie Aina. Literally, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all of the above. At Jackie Aina.
Jackie, thank you for coming and drinking all my motherfucking rosé, y'all.
Cheers. Even though you drank more than me.
Jackie.
I don't remember seeing you drink it, but okay.
I'm really mad at you today.
At me?
Yeah.
Why?
Who books 1 hour of studio time? We needed way more time for that.
Well, you're right, though. She was a little bit late because that beat, but she came in looking flawless.
By the way, the hair was pink and it was perfect.
Oh, she looked gorgeous.
It was pink and perfect. Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And she's not afraid.
No, I loved that. You guys had a really great conversation, and I was like, I don't want to wrap this. I don't want to wrap. It was so good. I felt like you guys could talk for another hour.
It was bomb. And it's so funny because I do for the money. Like, I would do anything for a bag. If the bag is big enough, you can talk me into it. Really? I'm just joking. Probably not.
Probably. Maybe.
Probably not. I don't know. But it's so refreshing to meet people who really stand for something.
Yes.
Because in this business, you don't get a lot of that.
Right.
And if you say you're going to do something and you deliver and you keep, strong on it, like, that's pretty deep.
Yeah. She stood her ground for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, I will never wrap my head around is why these beauty influencers have so much beef. Like, it's Love and Hip Hop New York. Like, why are they beefing this hard? But I get it. Like, you know, people get extra sensitive online. They also, people think they know you because mm-hmm. they see you every day on your YouTube channel. Yeah. Some of these kids, I would be like, yo, if you go run up on me online like that, bring that same heat when you see my ass at the MAC Cosmetics or at Mamie's Beauty Supply, because we gonna fight.
But I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you were saying that, like, you would ask the question, do you ever feel like they come at you just to get the media clout. And the clout? And I really think that there's a lot of that happens. They start kind of commenting and fighting because they know it will get, like, that whole age-old saying, good press is bad press is good press, whatever. So I feel like there's a little bit of that happening where they know it'll get momentum. It'll get them talking maybe like a month before their new palette drops. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
by the way, I would be beefing with every bitch on YouTube the month before my palette drops.
Right? Because then people are invested.
And I would name a color after all of these bitches. I'd be like, that's a genius idea. That's a genius idea. I need to do some swatches. I need to do some sizes. I want to make a man makeup line.
I do have to ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
So this whole story where you were actually Elle Woods at law school.
For the D. For the D.
When you were telling that story, I was dying. I was like, Justin became Elle Woods. It's amazing.
I really did it.
It's amazing.
I
How many days did you
it.
Say you last? Like 13.
Because day 14 was the day you can drop out.
You could drop out without.
Yes, I went. It was crazy.
I just had this vision of you like clanking through law school.
Oh my God. I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't. But I'd be a fat ass lawyer. I'd be so good.
I feel like you would be.
Me and Laura Wasser would be like this. All right, you guys. We're going to start answering listener questions.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. You want me to read them?
Yes.
Okay, let's see here.
Mix it up.
Cheryl B. wants to know, what's the best way to get over a breakup? I was with my ex for 7 years, and I'm just finding it hard to find out who I am without him.
Cheryl, I have two words for you. New dick.
That's true.
Sometimes, I don't know why this is... It's this way. I'm not saying go out and just like hook up with somebody for the hell of it. I'm saying go out and find someone who you're compatible with, who you want to talk to. Not necessarily that you want to date,
right?
But you're interested enough to buy the time and give someone else that emotional space that your last man was taking up.
Yeah.
And again, it took me almost 7 months to hook up with somebody, sleep with somebody after I broke up with my ex-boyfriend. But when I say new D, it's just getting somebody in that space, in your emotional space, that will take up all of that that your ex
someone
used to
occupy.
Someone
you can occupy. Be excited about. It's not even necessarily like sleeping together. It is. It's just somebody to focus your energy on.
Yeah.
And Cheryl, I don't know if this is happening, but you cannot look at their social media. You basically have to make them non-existent. You can't hang out with the same friends. You can't look at their social media. You can't dwell and stare at old photos of you guys together. You literally have to just kind of try to wipe them clean and move forward. Because the more that you sit and do that or listen to the sad songs that remind you of them, we've all been there.
All been there.
crying in the dark, listening to some song.
If I hear a Tennessee Whiskey one, like literally if it starts to come on the radio, I'm like, nope, gotta go.
But, you know, you kind of have to just shut off all communication.
100.
Because that's the only way you will move forward.
Tennessee Whiskey. Oh my God. When I hear that. Girl, no. Please.
Okay, so now I have a little bit more of a serious question. This is from Isaiah R., who says, it's been more than 3 years since my father passed away, but I'm still struggling with loss. What's your advice on dealing with the grief after losing a loved one?
I talk to my loved ones at least once a month.
Yeah.
I might sound crazy because I'm in my bathroom, but if you just have that conversation with them like once a quarter, like I'll be throwing my dad a whole conversation.
Yeah.
Or my friend Amy will just, I know she's there. I just will be
just
talking.
Just talk to them.
Just talking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just whenever you feel like it. Like, it doesn't have to be like correspondence. It just could be random thoughts, fleeting mm-hmm. situations. Or when I'm thinking out loud, I often just think to them. And that helps a lot.
Yeah.
I also think there's a lot of like, when you lose someone in your life, there's a lot of guilt about the things that you didn't do.
Yeah.
And I think forgiving yourself for those things is very important. I also think just reminding yourself that when big moments happen in your life, like, that they won't be there. That's a reality of your life.
Yeah.
Like Christmas, Thanksgiving, because you can work yourself up around holidays about people and the loss that you feel. But it took me around three. It took me a minute because I was in denial about it for a very long time. But when it came back and I had to process it, it did take me a minute.
Right.
But I just think getting over those two things, the guilt and then the knowing that those people won't be there for those big moments, I think that helps a lot.
Well, and I think like you have to also be okay with your grief.
Yeah.
Like you have to sometimes just accept that you're going to have grief.
Sit in it, though.
You have to sit in it. I've had moments here at work where I've ran into the phone room and just cried for no reason because I was having a memory about, you know, my best friend or whatever. And I've like lost my work. I went in there, shut the door, cried for 10 minutes, let myself cry hard, got my together, came back out and went. But you have to have that. You have to let the grief come and you have to have it, because if you push it down and you push it down, it will eat you alive. So I feel like you just have to go through it and you have to be okay with it. And you will still have, you're going to always love that person. You're going to always miss that person.
That's and
there
really,
will always be days that they that hit you harder than others. And I think you have to just sit in it for a minute.
That's really nice of you that you go in the cry room and cry, because I just be crying at my desk, making everybody uncomfortable. Oh, I will pop a glass of wine open at work. I have one of those travel bottles.
I don't have wine at my desk. Oh, why don't you
just, we sit right by each other. Just pop into that lower drawer. When you open it, it's like clank, 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 clank. And I just put that in a coffee mug, girl, and I just go at it. Sometimes you just got to go at it, and you can't care. And I think a lot of times, too, I think people forget that, like, you are a family if you lost a family member and other people are grieving as well. So talking about your grief with a family member is nice. And if you don't want to talk to them, you can there's free counseling everywhere. You can find something in the town that you're in and just a quick Google search.
Yeah.
There's like a mental health services at the LGBTQ center. And by the way, if you go there and you say, I'm an ally, and even if you're not gay, if you go there and say, I'm an ally and I'm having this issue and I need to talk to somebody, they will send you to someone for social services.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Go use those resources. That's why the government's there. You pay taxes for this.
All right. So Ryan L. wants to know, I've been living in LA since 2014, but haven't made a solid group of friends or met anyone special. How do I overcome loneliness in LA?
You've been here for 8 years?
Since 2014.
Since 2014.
This one.
Here's the jam. What I learned about LA. LA is one of those places where everybody is coming from somewhere else. So no one really has a core group of people because we're all transits. The amount of people who are actually from LA is very minimal compared to the people who live here. So knowing that other people are also looking for people who they have things in common with, that's really important. But also finding places where you can find those commonalities.
Yes.
If you're into sports, getting involved in a summer league as a single, meaning that you can just join a team who needs somebody that night, is important.
Yes.
Dodgeball, important. You like to swim? Go to the swimming lead.
Right.
There's a tennis lead right down the road. There's so many things that you can like pick. But I feel like LA is very, very hard to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get stuck in our ways. After 8 years of being in LA, you probably like being at your house and being a homebody. I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah.
So you have to make an extra effort. And sometimes making a social calendar where I'm going to try to meet new people twice a week.
Right.
That means going to a book club on Monday, and that means going to X, Y, and Z on Thursday. Don't try to do it at a club.
I was just going to say that. You can't meet people out, really, in LA.
No.
Like bars. And I mean, you can meet people to talk to for the night, but it's not usually not going to be a relationship. I think work and then other social activities, like you said, is where you have to kind of invest the time.
It's really important.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, I love the people that I work with, but I don't want to be their f-ing friends.
I think it just depends on also your atmosphere and what it is you're looking for. But if you like, if some people like, Justin's nodding his head at
these
me because he wants that separate.
Keep it separate. Nope.
Okay, one more. Here we go. So Charlie Girl 5 says, my best friend of 13 years told me she's cheating on her boyfriend. I get along really well with her BF and think he's cool. Should I tell him?
First of all, if she your best friend, you keep that.
Yeah, you got to. You can't. Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
Even if you liked him, even if it was her husband, yeah. You cannot get involved in that. And by the way, I will even go as far as to sometimes when my friends are in relationships and you warn that person about that person and you see that person cheating on that person, I never go back with it.
Yeah.
I never, ever go back with it. It's not my jam. I do not like to get involved in people's relationships.
No, it's really hard because there could be, if they break up, it could come on you and then there's resentment from both sides and then you lose your friendship. It's so complicated. You really do have to stay out of it.
And the other thing is, your best friend is like Latin for vault. Like, that's what best friend means.
Yeah.
Like, if my best friend was like, I was involved in the OJ murder, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not going to say a damn thing, bitch.
But on the flip side, if the boyfriend was cheating on the best friend, she would.
Oh, for sure. That's your best friend.
Yeah. See, so it's a little different. Yeah.
It depends.
Yeah.
Because I've had friends who their boyfriends have cheated and you say something and you say, oh my God, I saw your man cheating at Chili's last Friday with some bitch named Sharona. And then all of a sudden you tell your friend and she tells the boyfriend but stays with the boyfriend.
Yeah, and then you're in the hot seat.
You gotta be careful. Yeah. You really gotta be careful.
Okay, from Sarah R. There's a boy at the coffee shop where I work that everyone seems to have a crush on. Recently, he's been attending to me every time I go in, and he throws in a couple of free cookies.
Ooh, girl.
I feel like there's a connection. Should I shoot my shot and ask him out, or do I wait for him to make the move?
Sarah, just do it. You got one life to live. There's probably 1,000 coffee shops in the area, so if he says no, you can go to the next coffee shop. Over. But why wait? I'm over waiting for people to make the move. Yeah. I've now, in 2020, I'm more aggressive than I've ever been. Mm-hmm. Because I used to be the damsel in distress being like, oh my God, he's going to ask me out. He's older. Oh my God, he's going to ask me out. He makes more money. Like, hell on that. Just go for it.
Do you worry about not being able to go back into your work coffee shop?
No, that's when I want to go back and be even better. Like, I want to, like, walk in there, like, looking hotter than ever, being like, this is what you missed out on.
Yeah.
Having fake phone calls with, like, fake boyfriends, like, two
while
months later.
While you're in line getting that cookie.
And then it rings, and then you're, like, embarrassed. Like, I'm speaking from true experience here. Yeah. I'm speaking from true experience. I once.
So Sarah should shoot her shot.
Shoot your goddamn shot.
Yeah.
And if he says no, guess what? There are 5 million other single trash bag men in the world for you to choose from.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you guys, if you would love to watch this, you can go over to the E! News YouTube channel and click on Just a Sip. Follow me at The Lady Sitter. Don't forget to rate, review, and share this podcast with your friends because it's goddamn good. And if you need advice yourself, you can hit us up at podcastjustasip@gmail.com. And if you don't get it this week, we'll have, 100 more weeks of this?
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. So we'll see you guys back here next week. That was really fun.